We'll turn tonight to Matthew chapter 6, to the 9th verse again this evening. A very short passage as we come to consider the first petition of the Lord's Prayer this evening. Our text is the very short verse, Matthew 6, verse 9. Let's give our careful attention to the reading of God's holy and infallible word this evening. Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Please bow with me very briefly as we ask for God's blessing on His Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of being able to drink from the well of living water, to be able to come and partake of Your Word this evening. Father, we are small, but the promise of Christ is that if we gather in His name, He will be in our midst. And so we plead with You that You might help us to come to a better understanding of this first petition that Christ instructs us to pray in this prayer that He taught His disciples. And so lead us to that end and enable us to glorify You more consistently in our lives. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, having considered the preface to the Lord's Prayer last week, Our Father in heaven, we come this evening to consider this very first petition in the same verse, "Hallowed be thy name." And as we start this evening, I want to warn you that there is much more here than meets the eye upon first glance. When I say that, this is not at all to justify a long sermon. It's not going to be this evening, but rather it's said so that you might ready yourself tonight for some serious probing by God's Word. And that's because the first petition bears on, this very first petition, "Hallowed be thy name," bears on how you live each moment of every day of your life. It affects particularly your relation and your life as it relates to your witness to the Lord in this world. I have there at the beginning of your outline tonight the 101st question of our shorter catechism, which asks, what do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify Him in all that whereby He maketh Himself known, and that He would dispose of all things to His own glory. I want us to begin this evening by considering, first of all, the point of God and His name. A short point, but God and His name. And that is because the association between a person and their name was much closer in biblical times than is the case today. J.I. Packer has written, "In the modern world, a person's name is merely an identifying label, like a number, which could be changed without loss. Bible names, however, have their background in the widespread tradition that personal names give information describing in some way who people actually are." And so the whole idea of a biblical name is a much more significant thing. And so when we read of the name of somebody, or particularly the name of the Lord, we are reading of something much more significant than just finding out information of a tag or a label that someone goes by. And therefore, throughout the Bible, when we read of upholding and honoring the name of God, it is understood to be essentially the exact same thing as honoring and reverencing God Himself, as I noted this morning. For instance, in the Psalms, and even in some of the ones that we've read or have sung together this evening, we read, and I've put those there, a couple of these passages in your outline tonight to make it easier for you to see it. Notice we read in Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 113, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. In Psalm 145, 1 through 3, which we just sang together, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. In other words, God's name is a synonym for himself, for who he is. And thus we pray that it would be hallowed. For to hallow something is to reverence it, to honor it, to glorify it, to affirm that it is holy. And therefore, what we are praying for in the first petition is that, and we have it right here in our catechism, that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all the ways that he makes himself known, and that he would cause all things to praise his own glory. And having noted that, it's important to state very briefly that this is not at all teaching that God's holiness could actually be increased. That's something we need to think about. We're not at all praying that God's own holiness would be increased or that our prayers could somehow make him more glorious. God is absolutely perfect in his holiness, perfect in his glory. But rather the issue is that his glory would spread and his name would be recognized more and more throughout the earth, that he himself would be honored and glorified more and more, that the creation would honor and worship its creator, who alone is holy and worthy of our praise. And this then brings us to consider the second point this evening that we'll be considering, and that is his name and you. His name and you. Because the sad history of God's people, both as it is recorded in the Bible and as we see it throughout the last two millenniums, is that God's own people, it is particularly God's own people that dishonor his name. Indeed, it is here that we see most clearly the connection between the first petition of the Lord's Prayer and the third commandment. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. And the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You see, although it includes this, first petition of the Lord's Prayer and the third commandment are dealing with much more than using the names of God as curse words. Consider these passages from the Old Testament. And again, I reproduced those in your outline tonight so that you can have them before you as I read them. Look at Leviticus 18:21. You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Malachi chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts, but you profane it. And finally, Ezekiel 36:33, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. And therefore, in contrast to what we pray for in the first petition and what we are commanded in the third commandment, it is actually often the case that God's people, instead of hallowing His name, actually are in the practice of profaning His name. And here's where this gets uncomfortable and convicting for us. Each of you who have been baptized, I actually don't do this very often, but how many of you in this room have been baptized? Raise your hand. Looks like every single one of you. Almost. Almost every one of you. Each of you who have been baptized have been baptized into the name of God. You have been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Each time the benediction is pronounced, God's name is placed afresh on you before you go into the next week to live and to work and to play. As Moses was commanded in Numbers 6, actually it was Aaron getting the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The very next verse is, so shall you put my name on the people of Israel. And thus, tonight you have to recognize, as the people of the Lord, those who have been baptized, those who receive the benediction each Lord's Day, you are a name bearer of God. It is as though you are a product, we might think of it that way, and the very reputation of the company rides on the quality of the product. They put their label on you, like if you were a shirt, and you say something about the integrity and the quality and the skill of that company. Do they make good products or not? Well, God has put His name on you, and you tell the world something about God by the way that you live. Your life says volumes to the world as to whether God is a good God, whether the gospel is actually true, whether there really is power in the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'd like you to turn briefly to Isaiah chapter 43 for a brief moment this evening. Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Beginning our reading tonight in verse 5, just to the 13th verse. Notice the association here. I'll bring it out in a moment, but of what we're talking about and what God says here. Isaiah 43, verse 5 to 13. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare these things and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Also henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? What I'm wanting you to notice tonight is the connection between those who are called by his name and those who are his witnesses. They are the same. Those who are called by his name are his witnesses. You show forth, by being called by his name, by being a name bearer of God, by being one of his people who claim to have been saved by him, you show forth whether or not he is a good and a gracious and a loving and a saving God by how you live your life. Indeed, this theme is picked up in Acts when Christ says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's to say that since we are called Christians, as Acts 11, 26 reminds us that they were first called Christians there, bearing God's name by way of our baptism, being a Christian, since we are called Christians, we are being told here that Christ actually gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us to live godly lives, to proclaim the gospel, and thus be his witnesses throughout the earth. And therefore, in this first petition, and even as the order is in the catechism, in this first petition, we are first of all praying for ourselves. As Peter instructs us in 1 Peter 1, verse 17, if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. In other words, we are praying in the first petition, at least first of all, to have a walk worthy of our calling in Christ. We are praying that our lives will bring him glory and honor and will result in the exaltation and vindication of his name. In other words, far from making us too familiar or too lax in our conduct, beginning our prayer with our Father is to naturally lead us into holiness. Hallowed be thy name. Again, Peter, if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Indeed, it's helpful to see that this petition is not merely something that Jesus has called on us to pray. This isn't just something that Jesus says, you guys need to be praying this. But it is fascinating to see that this is actually a petition that we have a record of he himself praying. In his prayer to the Father, that the Father would uphold him through his suffering, Jesus prayed in John 12, 28, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name through my life and my redemptive work, my suffering for your glory. The aim of the work of Christ is to glorify God and to conform us into his image, and therefore, as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and makes us more like our Savior, our prayers should be filled with much about the glory of God, as we desire to see Him in His great name glorified through His word and His works. In congregation, our lives should increasingly be lived for the glory of God as we seek to honor and hallow His name in every thought and word and deed. As Paul calls us to in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And therefore, with the praying of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, there will come and there should come much repenting and seeking forgiveness from God. As those who bear His name in our baptisms, may we strive by faith in His gracious promises to hallow His name, thus not taking it in vain. And may we be witnesses that confirm the truth of His glorious salvation in Christ by lives that are lived consistent with the promises of the gospel. Let's take these matters to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we are convicted tonight as You call us. Indeed, Your Son has taught us to pray that Your name would be hallowed. We recognize that that begins with us. And Lord, You know the inconsistency of our lives. You know that we are often not accurate and faithful witnesses to You, that we belie the truth of the gospel by our lives, our attitudes, our words, our actions. These things bring into question the truth of Your word, and we profane Your name in this world. And so we pray tonight that You would strengthen us, that You would forgive us, that You would grant us repentance, and You would grant us strength to walk in new obedience. We thank You so much for Christ. We thank You for His own example, that He would pray that You would be glorified and Your name would be hallowed. And we pray that You would, again, as we prayed this morning, enable us to walk by faith in Him, to live out of the strength and power and vigor of our union with Jesus Christ, that we truly would walk by faith and not by sight, and thus bring glory and honor to You as we walk in righteousness before You. Father, enable us to encourage each other on to love and to good works. May we desire to do these things and to walk in obedience so glory might redound to Your name and that You, our Father in heaven, would be glorified. Father, each time we pray this prayer together as a congregation, particularly as we gather as a church each Lord's Day and we lift up this prayer that Christ taught us to pray, we pray that in our hearts, even as it's flowing out of our lips, we might be taking inventory and desiring to be further conformed to Christ, further purified, and be more consistent in our life and our walk so that Your name truly would be hallowed in this world and hallowed through our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.